Can you think of a moment in your life when you had extreme amount of joy? How many would say, I remember that? How many thought of the birth of a child? A birth, a marriage. Now, let's not go with that one yet because we got in the family series coming up. And if the marriage wasn't one you could raise your hand on, come a couple weeks from now and we'll work on that. But here's the thing. How many can say this? Most of my life is mundane. It's normal. You get up, maybe you go to work, maybe you go to school, maybe you interact with friends, get online. But most likely, if I said what happened 4 months, 2 days ago, you existed, you lived, you ate, you breathed, you went back to bed. But then the reason you don't remember it is because it was mundane. But you remember the times of extreme joy. Let me ask you this. Do you think the other thing that sticks out in my mind, or in your minds, are times of extreme pain? So if I said this to you right now, do you remember a moment in your life, maybe it was news that you got, a death that occurred, a separation that happened, a friend that stabbed you in the back, talked poorly of you, whatever it might be. If I said to you right now, do you remember an extremely painful moment in your life? How many could also go, yeah, that's me. So today, I want to say this. We're going to talk about extremes. And actually, what we're talking about is an extreme death. But before I get there, there's one scripture I want to share with you. It comes out of Hebrews, and I just want to kind of process you through, but there's one specific phrase that I want to say over and over and over again so we remember it. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says this, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." So let me say it this way. Have you ever seen the Olympics and people are running a race in the Olympics and the stands are full of out of shape people telling that person on the field, you can do better, right? Isn't that pretty much what all athletic events are? It's 10,000 people yelling at the one person that doesn't need to run and they're yelling at them. But here's the difference. When you think about this auditorium, arena, these aren't fans watching someone run a race. These are people that have ran a race before you, sitting in the crowd going this, we're here cheering you on. And the reason why we know we can cheer you on, we did the 100-yard dash. We did the 2 miles, the 5 miles, 10 miles. We've been there, done that, so we're now going to sit in the stands, and we're telling you this, the best way for you to run is throw off weights. Does that make sense? How many wants to go for a jog right now with 50 pounds strapped to your back? How many wants to go for a jog? Okay, so we'll talk health later, but for right now, if you don't even want to jog, throw 50 pounds on your back, and here's what these people that have ran the race before you, they're saying this, drop the baggage. Drop the sin that ties your shoelaces together, that entangles you and trips you up. Is there anything in your life that trips you up on a regular basis? I'm not talking about Satan did this and my parents did that. I'm talking about you make a poor decision, it ends up biting you in the rear end. Yeah. Does anyone want to raise their hand? Thank you. Appreciate the honesty there. Okay, so we're all in here. They entangle us. But here's what. Let us run with perseverance a race. So get in the field, get your shoes on, untie them from each other, and let's start running this race that we're supposed to run. And by the way, in doing this, verse number 2, ready? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He's the Michael Jordan of our race. There's probably better basketball players now, but I'm kind of dating myself. He's the Dale Earnhardt. I got to be honest, I'm just trying to bring you country people back in. I went NASCAR, I figured that was the way to do it. If I knew fishing lyrics, I'd throw that out to you. I'd bob it out there. Okay, so Jesus, I think I heard booze. And there is, if you look in the Bible, no booing on Easter. But we got to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Why? Okay, this is the part. If you don't hear anything else that I've said so far, focus on this right here. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross and its shame. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. See, here's what we end up doing when you read the Bible. There's sometimes where you just read it. And you read it and you might understand some words, but if you don't understand the context, you lose the meaning behind it. For the joy set before Jesus, he's going to endure the cross. So for the race set before Jesus, he's going to endure the training. Okay, how can I help you with? For the swimming suit that you want to put on this summer, you will endure the diet. Right? Because right now, how many is enjoying eating boiled eggs for four meals? No, you don't. But if you go, I need to one day have my shirt off in public again, and I'd like to drop a few LBs, I'm going to endure this in order for me to be what I need to. So Jesus is going to, for the joy set before him, what's the joy set before him? Let's get back to that in 1 second. Because I want to tell you about the joy set before him, but the joy set before him doesn't matter if you don't know what he went through. See, here's what Jesus went through. He started with a group of guys, and he went to pray in a garden. How many have ever heard of Good Friday? It's 3 days ago? Okay. So I'm kind of going back to Good Friday at this point. I'm going back to a few days before the cross. Jesus knows that his time has come in order that he's actually going to be crucified. He's going to hang on a cross. And what he decided to do, he needed to go to this Garden of Gethsemane. It's a place where he always talked to his dad, his father, God. And he went there to pray. Not only did he go there to pray, he brought a few of his friends with him. And he goes, guys, I need you to help me out here. I need you to help me out because I'm under such stress. Hematidrosis is how much stress I'm under. Now, what is that big word? Actually, it's so much sweat. It's so much stress that the blood vessels in your brow, instead of sweating water, you begin to sweat blood. And he was under so much stress that he was sweating blood, sitting in this garden, hoping that his friends would have his back. How many, have you ever been in a place where you wished your friends had your back, but they held them up just a little bit short? What if you were carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder? And by the way, I'm not saying this like metaphorically, he carried the weight of the world on his shoulder. Actually, I mean he was carrying the weight of the created world, of all of eternity, and even time. You know, when I say he's carrying the weight of time on his shoulders, do you know after Jesus does what he did, time changed? How many have ever heard of 500 BC? That's before Christ. How many are living in 2017 AD in the year of our Lord? When Jesus did what he did, he shifted time and space. And he's carrying this weight on his shoulders. And here's how much it was stressing him out. He went to his dad and he goes, listen, I know that we had a plan. I know we had something going together, but I'm just going to say this. If there's any way that you can take this from me, could you please? Because I'm sitting here now with the stress and the weight of the world and sin from times gone by to time coming up. And as I'm waiting underneath it, it is physically destroying me. God, if there's any other way, can we go to plan B? And God goes, there is no plan B. You're my one and only son. You're it. And then Jesus responds the way I wish I could. And if you're a better Christian than I, then don't get offense to this. But Jesus actually said, not my will, but yours be done. See, I usually go, God, I can figure out a way because I'm a little smarter than you. Am I the only one? You think you can help God along with his plans? But that wasn't the point. All of a sudden, Jesus is sitting there sweating blood. His friends keep falling asleep, but he sees someone show up into the garden. It's his buddy, Judas. Been walking with him, been talking with him. He's been on ministry missions with him, been out performing miracles with him. Judas comes in. Oh, it's my friend. Are you here to pray with me? No, you're here to kiss me. Why are you here to kiss me? In order to point out to all the Roman guards that this is the man they're coming to take. And by the way, Judas sold him for 30 pieces of silver, which was the same price as a slave. You know, we actually sell ourselves into slavery all the time that we don't mean to, and it's really for a very cheap price. It's an addiction. It's a lust. It's a desire. It's a girlfriend you never should have gone with, a boy you never should have followed, whatever it might be. We sell ourselves into slavery all the time, but on this one was going to kill Jesus quickly. So now all of a sudden you see in Matthew chapter 22, they begin to take Jesus and drag him, and they begin doing small things to him, like punching him and pulling out his beard. When I say small things, wait to see what's to come. But he didn't fight him and he didn't resist him because there was a joy set before him. What was the joy set before him? That he was willing to let someone cold cock him in the eye. You know, Isaiah says this, that he was bruised for our iniquity. And I'm about to give you, you know, you got to have pen and paper. I'm about to give you something that you have to write down. You can never forget this. The only way to get a bruise is to get hit. I thought of that mowing yesterday. Seriously. When it's bruised for our iniquity, how do you get bruised? You get hit. And so Jesus, shackled, being dragged to a night court, is being punched, beard being ripped out, being spit upon. He then goes to an evening court. The reason why he had to go to an evening court was they were going to lie about who he was and what he was doing. They actually brought people. They paid them to lie about him. But Jesus did the one thing that they couldn't handle. They said, "Are you the Son of God?" He goes, "Yeah, I am." So they went, "We found something we can kill you on, because now that's blasphemy." So what they decided to do, they take this in Mark 15:15, they take this flagrum, this whip. And now this whip isn't just leather, it would be filled with bones and sharp rock. And they would handcuff them. I use the word handcuff, but that's kind of our modern. They would shackle them, if you want to go King James on me, to this wooden stump. And they would begin whipping them 39 times, because 40 times proved that they killed people. How do they know this? Romans became masters at persecuting people, because Romans figured out that fear was the greatest way to detract someone from doing something wrong. So they would beat him and beat him. If you ever saw the movie Passion of the Christ, there's a scene where he's getting whipped. During the filming of it, one cord came around and hit his bare skin, Caviezel's open skin, knocked the air out of him. One piece hit him one time. The second time a piece came around, hit his open skin, his body naturally jerked. He pulled his hands out of his shackled and bloodied his wrist. That was one whip from one. And he took it 39 times. Why would God sit and take a beating like that for the joy set before him? What is this joy set before him? Well, the joy set before him was a crown, but not this crown. This is a crown of thorns that we find in Matthew 22:29 as a mockery. Can you guys see this in the video? Here's my finger next to one of those thorns. They jammed it onto his head. The forehead is one of the thinnest parts of the body when it comes to where blood capillaries are and your skin. So have you ever got soap in your eye, salt water in your eyes, sweat in your eyes? Now imagine a mass amount of blood just in your eyes. And have you ever seen a picture of Jesus with this little loincloth on? How many have ever seen those? No, naked. He was completely naked, so they could have the maximum amount of shame on him. So now, his back is completely bruised, or back is completely whipped up, crown of thorns, going naked through the crowd, and then he has to carry the crossbeam of his cross that could weigh up to 115 pounds. Once again, quoting the Passion of the Christ, when Jim Caviezel was filming this, he tripped a little bit, and when the crossbeam came down on him, dislocated his shoulder. By the way, this is an actor playing a part, not a savior carrying his cross. So now he walks up, and they end up taking this. They end up taking this nail, this spike, and they drive it. Now, there's a lot of pictures with the spike in the hand. I'm of the belief that it was actually in the wrist, and I'm going to give you two names. Between the radius and the ulna. Because if it was in the hand, it would just pull out. The nail would just pull out. So down here, there's a small opening. Now, down in that small opening, there's the median nerve, one of five major nerves in your body. The moment that would be hit, it would send searing pain up your arm, as in hot lava being poured onto you. So they put one in his feet, one in each hand, as he hung from the cross. Don't forget, he just has a crown of thorn, blood in his eyes, his bare back, not only bare skin, but bare muscles, tissues, all the way down to the bone, is rubbing on this, and you can't breathe because the weight of your body is down on your lungs, digging into that nerve, sending shearing pain through your arms. The only way to get a breath is to agonize yourself and actually lift up on your feet that is being held together with another nail. So in order to get a breath, you have to go from excruciating pain to excruciating pain to excruciating pain to excruciating pain, rotating back and forth, because you're actually suffocating on the cross. And I use the word excruciating for this reason. The word didn't exist before crucifixions. People would look at these crucifixions and they'd go, "Ouch. No, that's not a big enough word. Painful. No, that's excruciating." Well, what's that mean? It means that. This is what he's suffering. But he's sitting up there And he was willing to do this for the joy set before him. What's the joy set before him? That he would stay on the cross. And there's this one line, I love it. The Roman soldier goes, why don't you call down a legion of angels to pull you off the cross? And I've always been wondering, why did they throw that one line in there other than he could? Okay, Dad, I'm tapping out. Come on. Send him down and kill that guy first. He's really hacked me off. He took a sponge that was dipped in urine and put it in my mouth. But he decided to hang there for the joy set before him. For the joy set before him. He went through this excruciating pain to where they eventually took a spear, put it in his side when the side was really rent. Blood and water flowed, which showed that he was dead. Why did he do this? For the joy set before him. For the joy set before him, he endured the pain. For the joy set before him, he endured the whip. Joy set before him, he endured the thorns, the nails, the spear, the sponge. He enjoyed nakedness for the joy set before him. What is the joy set before him? It's his. Very simple. So that he can know you. So that he can have a relationship with you. Because there was a time when God and man walked together side by side, but man decided to sin. And because of that sin, it separated us from God. And during that separation period, God kept going, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you. But you need to come back to me. But come back to me. And during that part, there continued to be a separation between the two. So he decided to step down onto earth. And he was the thing that was going to bridge the gap to bring heaven and earth back together again. And it's so for this one reason. In 2017, Christ was on a cross looking into the service of Navigation Church in Collinsville, Illinois, at your face this day to say this, I did all of it because you're the joy of my life. The thought that I could talk to you, the thought that I could be your friend, the thought that you would want to talk back to me, the thought that I could take away your pain, to take away your scars, to take away your fears. Listen, God is so powerful. You know, he never had a standing army. Jesus never had a standing army. But the largest nation on the earth feared him, that they would overthrow his kingdom. Jesus never studied as a doctor, but yet there wasn't a single disease that he couldn't stop and couldn't cure. He wasn't an author, but guess what? The book written about him is the bestseller of all time. Also, the most stolen Bible of all time. There's a fun fact for you. They will be shocked when they get in there. Don't steal. Oops. He never had a standing army. He never owned a slave, but so many people called him teacher. He didn't have a degree, but everyone called him, or he never owned a slave. People called him master. He never owned a degree, but everyone called him a great teacher. And it was because he was willing to do what it takes so that we could connect again. And so today, here at Navigation Church, I need to be very clear about the moment that I want you to experience. The last thing I want is you have a mundane moment. Last thing I want you to do is walk out of here and go, who, is it ham for lunch today? Like, I do not want you to dismiss this. I absolutely don't want this moment to be memorable because of pain for you. Because truth be told, you have enough scars already. Yeah. If I said this to you, could you go another day and not be wounded again and still have too many wounds? How many would go, yeah, I've had some rough days. I've had some long nights. I've had friends that just tore me open. I had relationships. Man, they nailed me when they got the chance. I had people who thought we thought alike, we talked alike, we acted alike, but next thing I know, they just absolutely wrecked my mind in what they did. I need to tell you, fast forward to the end of your life. At the end of this life, you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven. And in heaven, you're going to find that you have a new body, and there's something very interesting about your body. No scars. Think about that. You look good. There's a way to say it, right? But it's not just physical scars. Emotional, mental scars are gone. Because in heaven, there's no tears. There's no pain. But when I say there's no scars in heaven, that's not actually accurate. There is one set of scars. His. And so for all of eternity, we're going to be doing this. Let me see your hands. Because mine, have no scars like. And so for eternity, we're going to study his scars and learn to worship him more. We're going to find out about the spear that went in his side, and we're going to worship him just a little bit greater. And for all of eternity, we're going to start learning about his scars, and the more we learn about his, the less we focus on ours. So today, I want to tell you this. I want you today to focus on his scars so you can stop focusing on yours. I want you to take the scars that you have and give them to him and replace his with yours, or yours with his. Because Jesus endured all of this so that you can live life and life abundant. Jesus endured all of this so that you could have a joy that you've never experienced this before. Jesus did all of this so that in this moment in 2017, sitting in Navigation Church in Collinsville, Illinois, you could have this moment. And the moment is this: I want to have it be memorable, not because of a pain I experienced, because of the greatest amount of joy I ever could imagine. And your joy is this: today I gain his scars and lose mine. If you're here today and you would go, yeah, I have some scars that I want to lose. I have some addictions I need to get rid of. I have some diseases that are eating my body alive. I have some relationships that have been very painful. And man, I'd like to find wholeness coming out of them. But above everything, inside of me, I'm aware that there's a higher power that I'm just not connected with. And I need to be, I want to be, I have to be connected with him. I want to give you a chance right now to say yes to Jesus Christ and get rid of his scars, get rid of your scars and take his. But in order to do that, I'm going to ask a favor. If I could have everybody close your eyes and just bow your head. And as you're closing your eyes and bowing your head, I asked you just a minute ago, is there any place in your life where you would say, yes, I've had an extreme moment in my life where pain is defined? Here's the next question. Are you ready to get past that pain? Do you have a disease you're ready to get past? Do you have a broken relationship, something in your past that has nailed you down to where you are, that you know you need to move to the future? But above everything, as I've been talking about a man named Jesus, who you are, he wants you to be the joy of his life. Something inside of you are going, I want to know that joy. If you're here today and you want to replace your scars for his, if you want to say yes to Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do one thing very simple. Just slide your hand up in the air so that I can see it. I see that hand. I see that hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. God, thank you so much. 9, I see your hand over there on the right. Thank you. I see your hand down front there. In the back, I see you. Here in the front, I see you. Right in the middle by the camera, I see you. On the back row, I see you. You know, when you say that Jesus wants to be your friend, when Jesus wants to fill your life with joy, something inside of you leaps, something inside of you goes, yes, I've been missing that. No one's explained it before, but I need you to know that he went through the most horrific death in all of the world's history for one reason, because you are the joy he's been seeking for. And I don't know how you got here today, but you're here so that he can talk to you. I don't know who brought you, what made you decide to come, but you're here so that you can say yes to him this day. So can we all say this prayer together? God, I invite you into my life. I ask you for all those sins that so easily entangle me. Forgive me. I ask for forgiveness towards those that have hurt me. And I choose this day to forgive them. Now, Jesus, come into my heart. And today I call you master. Today I call you teacher. Today I call you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, I thank you on this Easter celebration today that we're standing here. God, it's just the gospel, and the gospel means good news, and the good news is that we were separated from you. Your heart broke because you wanted to be connected with us, and on this cross, you made a way that we could once again be as one. And so, God, we celebrate the good news that today we once again can call you friend. We celebrate every person that has made a decision to accept Jesus as their Savior.